It's okay. Good evening and welcome to the Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for Tuesday, December 16th, 2014. The time right now is 7:01 p.m. Liz, will you call the roll? Thank you. And recall from last week that Councilmember Hanford is out this evening, excused, and that Councilmember Camp did contact me earlier this evening and advised me that he'd be a little late in arriving today. With that, Councilmember Cutterback, you've got the pledge. Will you lead us, please?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is presentation from the Monroe Chamber of Commerce, Ms. Werkebaugh.
But you didn't
mail it. So while we're having
technical
difficulties.
Oh. Oh. Right? I know.
Una has a container
full
of chocolate.
Wait, I can't run. No.
Oh.
This is unfair.
Thank you.
Want one?
Nah, I'm broad. It's bad for you.
Certain takes them out there.
The Dagobah system?
Dude, I'm so I was like, should I say it? I'm like, you said it for me. Thank you. Like, I'm like, Star Wars nerd.
No way.
Star Wars nerd.
The Dagobah system.
Oh, that was hot.
Wow.
Hot.
I have to save these.
So I think we have a little bit of a PowerPoint presentation. Possibly, but right now we're out of range. But it's over here, so I'm not really sure. So, hi, I brought you chocolate. I brought you chocolate because I made a request to Hershey and they denied me. And then they gave me one of their umbrella companies and I begged them for a donation. But at that point in time, we were 3 days out from our Light of Monroe event and I didn't think that anything would happen of it. So, I begged really loudly. They wanted to do a chocolate tasting, and I suddenly, the night before, basically received two huge cases of chocolate. So, thank you for participating in our chocolate tasting.
Speaking on behalf of the council, anytime.
Yeah. Right. And our IT man here is working away. So, so this is basically a breakdown of what we've done for the past couple of months. I know that you do see me on occasion, and I know that you're all pretty much up to speed as to what the chamber has been doing, but you know, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes, and we're still going to wait to see my PowerPoint presentation. So you all receive right now Polar Plunge information. Now, Jeffrey has told me that he's going to be plunging, and Jim Camp, I can throw his name out there because he's not here, has also promised me that he will be plunging. The original concept was that we were going to plunge into Woods Creek, but because the river has been so high and because we've had so much rainfall, we did not feel it was going to be safe. So we're going to be out at Lake Ty instead. And because we love to plunge, or maybe not, you have the option of paying $35, you all too, $35, and that includes hot food and a hot beverage, so you won't be cold necessarily. But if you really don't want to plunge, you can pay $50. $50 if you're chicken out, and you can chicken out and not go in the water. And that will be a fundraiser for Children's Hospital of Seattle, as well as Sky Valley Food Bank. So now that you all have information on that, I expect to see all of your registrations by Monday. So I don't even remember what it looks like at this point in time.
Well, you can explain it to them.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll just walk up here. So we have been working, Jeffrey and I have been walking through the downtown for the past 3 months. It's been 3 months now. And we've been getting a lot of great feedback. The most recent time we've been walking through the downtown was this past Saturday. That is for a number of reasons. It's mainly to let our citizens know that there are folks that they can turn to when they have questions or comments about what's happening within the community. All of you have jobs, and though you are a great representation of what our community has to offer, ta-da.
Hi, Jack.
They don't necessarily know who to reach out to, so it's very important for the chamber to be a face as well as for Jeffrey to be a face. And part of this parking situation that we've been going through is part of that concept of letting people know who to reach out to. So I doubt you can even look at this. So it starts with Oktoberfest, because that was pretty much the last time I was here last. Oktoberfest was held out at the fairgrounds. A number of you attended that event. It was a lot of fun. I think there's a picture here of Mike Farrell, Matthew Kay, possibly. having a great time. It was not during city time, obviously. And wanted to let you guys know that these are the types of events that bring people to town. And this is what we need people to be aware of, is that we have an amazing community that offers a lot of opportunity for people, regardless of what their backgrounds are. Give them an ability to come out and have fun. There are all these children's activities. You can learn about another culture. Definitely an incredible opportunity, and that was out at fairgrounds. And then kicked off, and there would be a video here, but we're not going to see it because we can't. But my board president was the official keg tapper. Mike Hughes actually has spent time in Germany, so he felt that it was apt for him to be there. And, you know, again, with festivals, they made this great festival thing. This company that put together Oktoberfest made this great button for everyone. You know, rather be in Munich, but Monroe will do. And a lot of folks were wearing them, and they were a lot of fun as well. And, again, creating an opportunity for our locals to realize that we have some great stuff going on. Next to that, I have a gentleman out here fishing in the Skykomish on a pouring down rainy day. We have amazing fishing access. One of the things that I do as the chamber executive is I sit on the recreation board for the Sky Valley, and we get to have conversations with recreation enthusiasts throughout the area, and it affords me the opportunity to meet up and to have conversations with people that really love our area, not just Monroe, but the entire Sky Valley, for different recreational needs and access points. And we have amazing locations in our own community off of Ben Howard, and there's the Lewis Strait Bridge, where folks can go fishing as well as up and down the Sky Valley. And by being part of those organizations, I get to have one-on-one conversations to find out what the real needs are. And so we love the fact that we have folks to come in and fish. And here we have just some random folks in pictures with business after hours, yet another thing that the chamber does. Some of you do attend those meetings, and it's really just a great way to look inside a business that we have here in our community. This one right here is the Find It Games. Find It is the umbrella company is owned in Europe, that they build the Find It Game, which I believe you have all seen now. We have them custom made for Monroe. They're located in the Frylands. It's one of the top selling games in the world, and it's not without any kind of power. You don't need anything. It's not a computer screen. It's an actual interactive game that a 5-year-old can play or a 105-year-old can play. And again, made entirely here in Monroe. We have another business after hours at one of our banks, Key Bank. This means you only do Key Bank to have business after hours. Might be a little bit boring, but no, they shake it up a bit, and it's a great way, again, to look behind the scenes of our local communities, and we have these business after hours every month. After that, Man of the High Tower. We have a movie that was filmed here in town. It's not really a movie. It is a segment that will be on Amazon Prime. It caused a bit of chaos in the downtown as we did have to close off Lewis Street on 20-minute intervals, I think it was. But it's a great way to promote our community to folks that don't live in our community. Amazon Prime, of course, Amazon is here in Seattle. And this will be a show that will be on Amazon Prime, regardless of how it does in the ratings. It's based on a book that's a top seller that's been translated, I want to say, into over 20 different countries. And it was really exciting having them here. And if it's a show that takes off, they'll be back more often. So they built an actual tower. I broke it.
Yes. It needs a security code now.
It's because the signal's out of range.
Right. See, I have my napkin here. This is not the issue.
Yeah, no, Sony.
That's
taught it. That's funny.
That's fine. And so after that, I found out, and again, I'm new here, so we're only going into my 8th month. And so there are many events that we have that I am not aware of. And I heard about this trick or trunk or treat thing where kids went around and took candy from strangers out of trunks of cars. It seemed really sketchy to me. But what a great concept. And apparently lots of children came to it. So I reached out to the local churches to put that on to make sure that it was still going to run the way it should. And oh my goodness, talk about an amazing community event. I would have never thought that taking candy out of a trunk of cars would be a cool thing to do, but apparently it is. And I'm really looking forward to moving forward with that in the future. Just hundreds of kids out, and it was a really miserable night. I don't know if you recall, it was rainy, it was kind of wet and damp and yucky, but lots of folks out, enthusiastic children, also walking through the downtown, getting candy from local businesses. And because I didn't know what I was doing, I would have businesses calling me, asking when they were going to get their orange pumpkin. Thank goodness we have Shelly. She is definitely the brains behind this, because she knew exactly what to do, and definitely businesses were very eager to partake in that exercise of entertainment. And then, of course, on a little bit of a segue, apparently it's very cool. We have orthodontists and dentists in town that actually buy your candy back. Did you all know this? It's so cool. So you collect a pound or two or three of candy, and then they'll pay you money for it. And so, wow, I didn't know that when I was growing up. So just a couple of photos about some of the great energy we have in our community that sometimes it's easy to forget about. We get blinders on because we live here. And I know that I have been in Washington since 1967, and I think that it's an amazing, amazing community. And every time I turn around a corner and I see Mount Rainier, or I see the Cascades, or the Olympics, or our skyline, I'm so thankful that we live where we live. And these are just some reminders of that. You know, we have our beautiful rivers in town and our scenes. So here it says we are a happening community. We have some various events. We have a Bearcats poster that's up. We're very much about our high school team, and that's super exciting. We have a photo of Brad and our new library director, Bill, at a function at Pine Creek Nursery. And we have myself and the mayor out doing our walking through downtown, as well as Jean and myself and Brad doing a tour of Lakeside, thank you. And a sign in the window of Twin Rivers about how they have events and that there's Seahawks and live music and all that fun stuff. So again, lots happening in our community, and we're very excited about that and very happy to be a part of it. Just another image of a sunset at Lake Tyne. I was leaving a meeting at Everett Community College, another board that I sit on, and amazing sunset was going down. And again, just another very thankful thing that we're having to do, that not enough people take advantage of this beautiful place that we have. Ribbon cutting, yet another thing we've done over the past couple of months. We've had several new businesses open. I'm sure many of you have heard of one of them, Walmart. It was 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. We were expected to be there. And people got up to be at this event. It was kind of crazy. There were a lot of folks on hand for their grand opening and their ribbon cutting. But down to smaller events. This one here in the corner, which video, which was a great video. They couldn't cut the red ribbon. Was for Dee's Music Room. She has a music locale in Bothell, and has decided that she has kind of grown out of that location and chose to open up another spot here in Monroe, and we're very happy to have her here. We also have Brookdale. Brookdale was MC Meredith, and before that they were something else. Which is great. Now they're Brookdale, especially a national brand, and that they have eyes on our community is very, very cool for us. And so all of these ribbon cuttings are really a great way, again, to bring energy and synergy to our community. And then we had a new wine tasting. Apparently we've had wine tastings in the past. This is the newest one we've had. It was very, pretty much last minute, but we had a great turnout, and the vineyards that were part of our wine tasting were extremely excited to be here and really looking forward to coming back to doing more tastings in the area. We had a good number of folks show up. These are just some images of people having a good time. One of our vineyards actually even came from east of the mountains. He loves the fact that we're right over from Leavenworth. He's just outside of Wenatchee and wants to create a great network with us and do more events in the future. And these things, again, are all good. They create a sense of community and a sense of well-being for our residents to be able to reach out to. A couple other images with it being cold outside, and again, we just have some great scenery around us. I know you guys can't see any of this, so we need your attention. nation.
It's got the word burr.
Yeah. Burr. And again, some other images. So this year for Light Up Monroe, we did shut down Main Street. I will have to give, if you probably won't give a round of applause, but I'm going to give a round of applause for Mike Farrell. He went above and beyond. He went up to Mount Vernon and he got us a snow machine. He was in love with that machine. If anybody doesn't know what to give him for Christmas, let me just say snow machine. It was amazing. We had so much fun. It was definitely something that we're going to have to do year after year. These are just some great images of children playing in the snow, adults playing in the snow. People loved this snow machine. It was a huge hit. And so in past years, we have had Light Up Monroe. We've had Critters, and they've all been good. And we've had Santa. And Santa was a huge hit, too. But the snow machine was over the top. It was great. And folks loved it. We had Mr. and Mrs. Santa. They did an amazing job, not only just with their presentation, but they were just so kind and so lovely. We've not used them. Well, not that we've not used Santa before. And I know that you all believe that there's only one Santa, but he does have minions that he tends to send out. And in this case, it was one of those. And he did an amazing job with his beautiful Mrs. Claus. And there were lots of kids lined up to take photos with him. And it was all free. It was all free to everyone. We also had RD from Eastside Paintball came. We had paintball set up where you could actually target a tree. So the tree started off green, and then they were decorated at the end. And lots of people were taking advantage of that. Again, completely free. Folks loved it. They loved having the street open. It was just a great event, all in all. And I can stop talking about now. I am very sad that we can't show this last video because it shows Jeffrey dancing with Santa.
Good
if
job.
You would like to see it, you can go. You can go to our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/Facebook.com/Jews in a row, and you can see Santa and the mayor dancing with on the stage and singing.
He sings. Santa does, yeah.
Speakers aren't broke, it's just the screen.
I see I missed a lot.
Bottom line is, if you weren't there, you missed out on a great time. We had a great time.
And Mr. Dizzy.
Oh, yes, and then Mr. Dizzy did use his lighting on fire keg. It was fun. It definitely, people were super excited to see that in a setting other than at the Speedway or on TV. He signed a lot of autographs afterwards that it created, again, that creation of excitement and a buzz for our community, a community that right now I'm struggling with even getting us to get proper information out because it hasn't been disseminated properly in the past. To get people excited about what we have here is probably my greatest challenge. And I'm so excited that you are all helping me do that because your excitement shows, and it shows in our community, and it shows with your families and the people that you work with. So this ends with an artisan bazaar that we also had in conjunction with Light Up Monroe in a building that has been empty for approximately 18 months in the downtown core. It's a building of over 16,000 square feet. It's a beautiful storefront right on Lewis that has not been used adequately. Yet another thing that the chamber does, I have reached out to the building owner and created an opportunity for him to work with one of our local residents so that someone would go in that building. So we're working on that now, and we do have some events happening in there, but the kitchen won't be ready probably until the end of February. In the meanwhile, opening the doors and letting folks come in to see that there is an amazing ability to have a conference, to have a wedding, to have a function of any sort that we have in our downtown core is something that we've been lacking in the past. And so opening that up, the Artist Bazaar, was great because people got to see the inside, have the stage, have the dance hall. In the Mood came in the following week, which is last week. I don't have any photos of that, unfortunately, nothing, you know. And, you know, I had borrowed 80 chairs from Adrian at Ben Franklin, and that was not enough chairs for the amount of people that came to these shows. Just something that our community definitely is eager to have, and it was so exciting knowing that they came out for that. So I'm very excited to have that move forward, and so glad that we were able to get that going in the right direction. This has been another video of some talented students that we have in our high school that played during Light Up Monroe. I would sing it, but you don't want me to do that, because then there's the next one. And yet another thing that the Chamber does, we have luncheons every month, and those have been going strong. We have increased our membership in the past 8 months, whatever it is since I've been here. And this past one, Santa came to, same Santa, same Minion, it was fabulous. And we also had Park Lake Middle School come out and sing for us. And again, such amazing talent we have in this community. It's great being a part of it. And we're looking to do more. So, and more. A few months ago, I came and let you know that we had, that I had a 5-person plan.
Did we all do that at the same time?
We all went with this.
That grant application that I did apply for wayfinding signs was approved.
Yay.
And very excited about that. It's a capital improvement, so that means it needs to go to the city. So we're working closely with the city on getting those wayfinding signs done. The money won't really come our way until January. So I'm hoping that they'll be implemented early in 2015. And we're super excited about that because we need to know, we need to let all of us on Highway 2 and 203 and 522 know that there are things that are happening downtown, there are parks to go to, and there are businesses that need to be occupied. Also, I applied for a grant, a marketing grant, that was not filled in its entirety, but I was partially approved, which is also exciting because at this time we don't have marketing funds to do things like the Find a Game or to make maps or to have things to hand out at different conferences and events that I go to. And that is super important about getting the word out about your amazing community. The day trippers that come in, that we want people to spend the night, day trippers are super excited. Super important to have, even if they're just coming from Woodinville or Bothell, Seattle, Everett. If they know that there are things to do here, we're within 25. I live in Seattle. I drive this every day, nothing of a drive. And we need to get that information out to work in Seattle. You look more pronounced than I am. So it's not a big deal at all. We want those folks to come into town. And until we can create again that excitement for them, it's not going to happen. And having marketing materials. Very important in that. So I was very excited that we had approval for that. We had Fire and Police Appreciation, another amazing event. I was part of Citizens Academy. I think I've already made mention of that. Tim was actually in that class with me. I think he graduated. I don't think that I did. But bottom line, it was an amazing class. And
you were the
if
one.
Anybody can get into it, I completely would encourage you to do so because it's an amazing class learning all about our fire department, police department, rather. The Junction, which I've made a comment on already, is going to be opening sometime in the next couple of months. It's a great entertainment venue that we're going to have downtown, and I'm glad that we were able to get that organized to move forward. The Retail Vet Group is moving along really, really nicely. I don't know how many times I've mentioned it, but it was a program that we started in collaboration with the police department, probably back in June. All the big box stores are having these issues, but nobody was really talking to one another. Now they are. I know that Sergeant Ryan is back off of that now, and we've pretty much given it to the retailers to take on, and it has been a huge eye-opener for our community and being accomplished with that group. It's been wonderful to be a part of that. We've had manufacturing meetings, and those manufacturing meetings have not gone maybe necessarily as planned, but we've moved on to Plan B now. Contact with our 80-plus manufacturers that are in the Frylands. In fact, on Thursday, we have a tour of one of them, AMT. They make body parts, basically. They make little ballers and ball bearings for inside your body when you have surgery, like if you have hip replacement or shoulder replacement. That's what they do. They're here in our community. And super excited to be getting a tour of them along with Jeffrey and I think some of the
others. Councilmember Kemp, if anybody else would like to go,
yes.
What time is it? Is it?
Four.
It's at 4 o'clock. Please email me, and if you,
I'll need an address.
Yes, and we'll get you in. We'll get you an address. You were going to email me the address.
The address is right next to the Rock Church.
Okay, I can find it.
All right, I'll get it for you.
It's by Pilcheck Distributing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's in the same building on the west, on the easterly side.
We'll come get you.
Okay, next to Clearview.
In Seattle.
Yep.
But these are great ways, again, to get insight as to what's going on behind the lines of folks that have a huge influence on our community that we're not having a conversation with right now. And David Parsons, the owner of AMT, he gave me this great story about how it started and how he's been in our community for going on 10-plus years. And we don't know him, and we don't know what he does, and that's what this is all about. And that's what the manufacturing concept started from, that whole summit that we started several months ago, was about kind of getting inside of a segment of our community that is here and is giving us jobs and is providing income and economic surge of growth, but we don't know anything about them, and we need to, and I'm very excited to be part of that. And we have this parking thing that's going on. I've been getting lots of phone calls. It's been great having actually the information up to reach out to us. Some of those phone calls are great, some of them are not great, but the bottom line is it really doesn't matter what they're saying, that we're accumulating information so that we can move forward to make more people happy than not happy. And that's what this process was about. And I'm very pleased that people are actually following through. Cascade Loop is just another one of those boards that I sit on, and I want to let you know that we are going through a rebranding right now. The Cascade Loop is the only loop in the world that is entirely electric. So if you have an electric vehicle, it is the only scenic highway you can drive without worrying about losing your charge. And that's exciting, and we have huge amounts of information that's being disseminated globally in different magazines and different marketing aspects that are talking about the Cascade Loop, and it goes right through Monroe, and that's something that we need to tap into because it's a huge amount of people that are going to be coming through because of that aspect alone. Leaf, the makers, I think Nissan makes the Leaf, they actually sent out a bunch of their own vehicles and had drivers do the drive, and now they're putting that out into the auto world about how it's a great way for you and your electric vehicle to have an amazing trip that goes through some glorious scenery. And again, our back door is right through town. The Sky Valley Recreation is another board that I sit on. We have a lot of really exciting things happening in the Sky Valley, and being able to go to that once every couple of months, again, gives me great insight as to a more well-rounded community that we have. And I mentioned already In the Mood. We had In the Mood, which is the Sky Performing Arts puts on. Normally it's in Wagner Hall. We also perform in Everett. And we had a blowout crowd. And to have that position vacant for 2 years is just something phenomenal. And I've probably passed my 20 minutes at this
yes.
time. So I just want to let you know that we are having a homeless dinner on the 22nd, which is Monday. It was very last minute. The owner of the building, the junction that I already mentioned, Con, came to me and said that he would like to donate $1,000 to buy food if we could get a homeless dinner put on. So Adam and Aaron have come together and created the menu, and that will be that this coming Monday at 5 p.m. I am looking for volunteers to help set up at a town. Con is also out of his own pocket purchasing gifts for all the children that will be at that event. So a very nice thing for one of our building owners that has not been present in our community, and the fact that he is simply amazing. And then we have the Polar Plunge, which you know about, they have as well. Paper that I'm going to participate in your registration. All right, so looking ahead, we have a bunch of other things, and I'm not going to bore you anymore. I'll let you move on with all of your stuff because you're going to be really nice. And thank you for having me. Do you have any questions?
Before we move into questions, I'd like the record to show that Councilmember Camp was here at 7:17 during the presentation. Okay, does anybody have any questions, comments for Una? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Thank you. The next item that we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. The amount of time available is 5 minutes per speaker. Are there any, has anybody signed in for this evening? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City of Monroe, to the Council?
I totally misunderstood one thing.
Please come forward up to the podium. We have a recording system. If you could state your name and address, please.
Sally Langston, 1546 168 Street, Southeast, here in Monroe. I'm not quite sure if I understood. Are we allowed to speak about anything at this meeting, or is it, if you're bringing something up, we're not allowed to speak on that?
It's anything related to the City of Monroe that has not had a public hearing.
Okay, so for example, the buffers that you guys will be talking about later this evening?
Sure. Yeah, you can talk about that. Yeah.
And guys, know where I stand. You know me. tonight I want to bring up what a democracy actually is, because I'm kind of confused, I think, on democracy at this point. I know that you, all of you, were in an election, you got elected, it was democracy, you guys won, you got to take an office. I'm not quite sure what allows you up here to go against what the people of this town voted for. 9 out of 12 precincts voted for the legalization of marijuana. The state was overwhelming in the state, so not only was this town, but then we also look at the state, it was approved and it was passed. But for some reason, in this democracy, you have decided not to go with what the people voted for. And I'm not quite sure if I understand what a democracy is then. I'm going to ask you to think again about what the citizens have voted for in the town, what the citizens have voted for in the state. 502 passed, it's legal. Why are we, you've already passed a zoning, why are we trying to buffer more? Explain, I just kind of guess I need some explanation, I don't quite understand. And I want everybody to understand what a democracy is and how I feel that this really isn't a democracy at this point. You were voted, you were in. This voted, it's in. It's legal in the state of Washington. And yet you are blocking this to every extreme that you guys can go to extreme. By tonight looking at trying to buffer more, I'm kind of confused. So again, I'm just kind of making sure that everybody here understands that, what 502 was and how it had passed, and by the abundance that it had passed by. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward to speak tonight? Anybody at all? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on from comments from citizens and on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Gearing.
I'd like to pull number 5. And if there are no other lights, I'll make a motion to approve consent agendas item 1 through 4.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve the consent agenda items 1 through 4 and a second from Councilmember Kemp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Gearing, we'll go ahead and take on consent agenda item number 5 now.
I appreciate it, and thank you for recognizing, Mayor. Just one question about something I read. Impacted budget, so the numbers are all there. It says 32,507.29 of available contingency money is proposed being used. What contingency money is that?
Part of this agreement, part of the $2.7 million in the original agreements with the Department of Enterprise Services, has a contingency of $76,000. We're proposing using $32,000 of that. We're about halfway through the project. We didn't want to use all of the contingency money within the budget, because we still have, you know, most of the project, or at least half the project to go. So we're proposing using half of it approximately. So anyway, there was some contingency money with the project. We're proposing using about half of it.
And that's the enterprise contingency that goes along.
It's not the contingency.
And that, I got that from what he was saying, which was my next question, right?
That's
exactly where I was. I just want to know where the money was coming from.
Usually when we do contracts with contractors, there's a note put in that says, well, do you
want to... And it didn't say contingency fund. That's why I just wanted to clarify before I voted on it. That's all.
Things come up.
You bet. And with that, I will move to authorize the mayor to sign COP/FA number 2. In the amount of $74,516.22 for the change order pertaining to the damaged air pipes and conduit with the WWTP Energy Conservation Project.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. The motion passes 6-0. The next item on the agenda this evening is under unfinished business. This is item number 1, AB 14184, discussion marijuana buffers. And
so, you had requested additional numbers around certain facilities such as churches and private parks for the 1,000 feet to a marijuana producing, processing, or retail outlet.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the maps, and no one else can. there's a lot of range.
It's online.
Basically, by adding the additional buffers, adding the fairgrounds, the private parks, and the churches, everything is outside of the buffer. Everything is included in the buffer except for the industrial property at the end of 177, which is right now in mobile neighbor. So that's one way to go, is to increase the things that are buffered. actually for administration and just for ease of telling people what is allowed inside the city of Monroe, staff would recommend that you actually direct staff to institute a go through the process of doing banning it outright or prohibiting it. Okay, now you want to word it just like we do medical marijuana now. That way, if the storefront churches like there are by Safeway or the Chain Lake Road Center, you know, when they come and go, we'd have to keep continually going, okay, now it's in, now it's out, kind of thing. So it would just make it much easier to administer that it's not allowed inside the city of Monroe if that is the direction that the council would like to go. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. And appreciate it, Brad. Appreciate the new map, which is what we had asked for. I'm certainly in favor of doing it. What we had done before was kind of the layered approach. Like, so underlying, we passed our zoning, zoning that we wanted to do, that we felt was appropriate, kind of the safeguard if our plan to simply not issue business licenses if they don't comply with local, state, and federal regulations. Which these wouldn't because they don't comply with federal. And if for some reason that was struck down, we still had the zone A. I'd prefer to have this map. And if we want to do something on top of that as well, where if that got struck down, then we still have the map based on the zoning. Because the map's more related to, it's buffers related to the zoning that we passed, is it not?
No, it's buffers related to the land uses, specific uses, which are semi-zoning related, but they're actually... users.
Okay.
It's allowed in.
I got it. All right. I was thinking it was based on the zoo. Okay. Which may or may not change a little bit here, a little bit here, right. A little bit there, as you mentioned. It'd be my preference to be thorough with regard to that. Private parks at a minimum. That is what we talked about. A park is a park, regardless of who pays for it. I know we had talked about churches. I don't remember. I think I might have missed that, and I didn't remember including the fairgrounds.
Because
it's a park.
It's technically
park,
a park.
Well,
I see it's managed by the Snohomish County Park.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I was thinking, all right. Yeah, I guess that's true. Right. Very, very good. From that standpoint, I would, it would seem as if the trend is success for cities who have gone ahead and outright banned it. I think there's four or five now that have had success that's been upheld. And from that standpoint, I'd certainly be in favor. Love to hear from other people. Let's might as well just go ahead and do it. From the layered approach, however, as we did before, I personally would like to have the buffers in there as well. And we can do that on top. If that gets struck down, then you still have the other things that are there. At least that's the way that we had proposed it last time with the underlying zoning, but we're just going to not do business licenses anyway in case that gets challenged and we still have that underlying zoning that we had passed with regard to this.
I might have to refer to the city attorney here, but I don't know if you could do a prohibit something and then say, but it's allowed within 1,000 feet of something or more than 1,000 feet of something. So you kind of have
So that layer on top wouldn't make sense if you're doing the buffer.
Yourself when you do that.
Got it. I like the buffer map myself. If others are in favor of just doing the outright thing, I'm certainly open to that too. I think the buffer's worse.
At least the plan from staff was not to adopt a map. It was actually to adopt the list of things that are 1,000 feet from, and that's the regulation. The map is just our current interpretation of the regulation. It's not adopting the map.
The map would be the result of adopting the list that you put together, and that's what I'm saying.
Not,
we're on the same page.
That's not the rule. The rule is it's 1,000 feet from all these
From these things
So someone would have to come in and propose something, it'd be up to them to measure and say, okay, there's nothing within 1,000 feet.
There you go. Right.
And it's based on the information that we know now.
Right.
And so...
It could be fluid, potentially.
Yeah. I just noticed there's a church missing now. So.
Right. A church could come and go. A new subdivision could come in and put in a park. So you've got to, from an administrative standpoint... There is a lot of complexity when the buffers are there, and if it's the council's desire to just not allow marijuana uses in town, the ban makes it simpler for staff to administer, and it makes it more predictable. So that's why that is in that box right there. Our attorney, Zach, did you have anything?
I think Mr. Feilberg addressed Councilman Karen's point, but just to reiterate, I don't believe that a zoning ban and a zoning buffering regime could legally coexist.
Sure. Okay.
But with respect to your multi-layered approach, the business license framework, which is separate from your zoning power, effectively serves the same function.
Right.
That's kind of a safety net.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Councilmember?
That's it. Yeah, the expanded buffer list works fine for me.
Okay, Councilmember Cuddeback.
So I just want to understand, because right now we have it set up that in order to get a business license, you have to comply with state and federal law. So basically, it's not allowed. So whether the buffers change or not doesn't really matter because it's not allowed. So I don't know if we absolutely need an outright ban, because you say you can't have a business license, and if that gets struck down for some reason, then an outright ban probably is going to be valid. So, I mean, right now the administration of this is fairly non-existent,
right,
because we don't allow it because it doesn't comply with federal law. So I'm not sure if the admin argument that this is hard to administer really applies right now.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Right now, no.
Right. So I would say we continue to do what we've done, which businesses have to comply with the federal and state law, and that we expand our buffer. And I know that there's only one spot now, and we just have a list. We're not going by this map. We're just going by a list of uses. So, yeah. So I'm okay with what we have now, and that we just, you know, could expand the buffers. And I don't see it as an administrative nightmare right now, because again,
there's another thing with what we have now. You want to expand the buffers?
Well, I mean,
it's not.
To be honest, yeah, you can.
I mean, really, we're just private parks, and I mean, it's not an it's an expansion from the sense that we're considering stuff that's beyond just public parks and stuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you say expand the buffers, it makes people think additional feet away. It's using exactly the same language, right, just extending it to, you know, parks a park.
Increasing the list.
That's all.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. I'm already lit up, so I'll wait for my turn.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. And uses will, I mean, like you said, it's fluid and stuff will vary. But to me, I'm okay with the way I'm not. You know, saying that we should do an outright ban right now, I'm okay with what we have right now. And then as far as expanding the list of uses to private parks and the churches, I'm okay with that also.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. I guess a question for the council. Remind me again, why churches? And I know that was brought up amongst council, but parks I get, but why churches?
Would anybody like to respond?
I mean, anyone?
I'm happy to respond.
It's the same reason for them, because they have a large amount of youth activities and family stuff that basically center around church activities. That was the...
Okay.
Yeah, lots of kids.
Okay.
And if it's like my church, we have a park at the church. So...
Oh. I guess that's kind of where... I hesitate on the new buffer maps to include churches. Parks, yes, absolutely. A park is a park, no question about it. But churches, for the respect of there's youth, there's families. I mean, the reality is we can say that about the movie theater. We can say that about McDonald's, Fred Meyer. I mean, there's tons of places throughout Monroe that aren't included in these buffers where, you know, someone can legitimately make a case for that, whether it is that they spend an hour or 3 hours or whatnot. So, you know, I get this feeling in the sense of where this is going, and I tend to agree with Councilmember Cuddeback, where the ban on the business licenses resolves that. I just think that if we're going to extend the buffers beyond what we initially did, including the parks, I mean, we definitely need to include parks in there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we need to be a little more consistent with the family-friendly businesses, activities.
Would you yield for a comment?
Sure.
On the, because the other component of that, I guess I didn't, when we discussed it before, was that the buffers are also for childcare institutions, right? The majority of them, of the churches in the area, have, you know, childcare, daycare facilities ran out of them. That was part of the conversation as well. If you look at the Catholic Church in town, they have a full-blown park that has been utilized by some of the sports teams within the area at different times. So that's kind of how that was, because of the utilization of the facilities. A little bit different than a McDonald's. There's no daycare or anything, you know, being run out. I understand from a clientele perspective, but that was the intent when we originally discussed it, is that a lot of them are dual facility usage. Beyond worshiping on Sunday, they're used throughout the week in a format that is very similar, or actually the same purpose, you know, a park being used in the community. So that was why it was added.
So I guess if you don't mind me jumping in, then, and why wouldn't that fall under the child care facility then? I mean, if they've obviously got to be licensed for it, so then they would in theory fall under that and wouldn't need to have the church buffer necessarily, correct? I mean, so I get it. I truly do, but I guess my fear, you know, with saying churches and then, you know, what's next? I mean, you know, the fear was brought up last time, and I'll bring it up again, is that, you know, we're kind of buffering ourselves into potential trouble. So if we can keep it as consistent as possible, that's where I'd lie. And, you know, if churches generally have child care facility, they're going to be licensed for it, and they're going to fall under the child care facility buffer anyway. So, anyway. But that's just my two cents on it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So if I, you know, recall, I mean, I know we heard some testimony from, that we've heard before, in the public comment, but, you know, the reason that we went this route is actually, kind of ironically, to the point that she brought up, is that, yes, we did have a vote. It was approved in the state of Washington. That's exactly why we're going through this process, is to be in concert with the state of Washington law. But at the same time, we're in direct violation of a federal law that's out there. And it has been our position, you know, as a city and a council throughout this process, that we are, you know, because the federal government continues to kick this issue down the road, that the best position for us to be in is to try to meet our two masters, and, you know, in the middle. And that's exactly why we've come up with this. The solution that we have is to be trying to be the best stewards for the city, but at the same time not ignoring the fact that we had a vote. And that's why we're going through and what may seem like a painstaking thing of going through and talking about buffers and what's the right thing to do. That's why we are doing it, is because if all of a sudden the federal government comes in and says it's legal, it's good, we are not in violation of anything from a state perspective, and we are golden and good to go. So I am totally in favor of continuing down this process and giving it its due diligence, because if it does eventually come down, I want to make sure that we've given us the appropriate amount of time. It could be next year, could be 2 years, could be 6 years, around setting these buffers and stuff appropriately. So that's my two cents.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. I want to respond to a couple of comments from Councilmember Rasmussen. I certainly appreciate your opinion on that. Churches and fast food, I don't think there's a reasonable comparison there whatsoever. I do appreciate that. The vote was not to have a retail store in town. It was for private use. The citizens of Monroe didn't say, yes, we want retail stores in our town. That's not what the vote was. And that's part of one of the problems with the law, is that people are upset that cities can do this, because that wasn't included in what was in the vote. So from that standpoint, moving forward with what we have, I don't see any inconsistency at all with the list that we have that we're talking about expanding with. It makes sense, and it's certainly in line with things that we've heard different opinions on what, but we've certainly heard a lot of folks who have who would be in favor of the changes that we are talking about with our increased list. So from that standpoint, I think we need to continue moving ahead. To Councilmember Gamble's point, it protects us from future lawsuits of the way that we're approaching this. That is saving taxpayers money. So, thank you.
Okay. So I'm hearing resoundingly that the council, rather than banning marijuana in the city of Monroe would prefer to add public parks, schools, and fairgrounds to the list, private parks to the list, and churches to the list. Is that correct? Okay, if anybody objects, please. Councilmember Rasmussen?
I'm not in favor of adding churches specifically for the reasons I mentioned earlier. Okay. Everything else I'm fine with.
Okay. Staff will proceed then to add those items to the list. They're public parks, schools, fairgrounds, private parks, and churches. Are there any other uses that the council would like to add to the list since they're going to be putting together that package? Okay. What are the next steps then?
That's a go before the planning commission for the whole land use regulation process.
Okay. All right. So we felt that after seeing the way the map looked, that it was important to just ask the question if the road that the council is sort of leaning would lead us to a road of outright banning the use in town, that before taking it through planning commission and everything, that we had that opportunity to have the discussion here.
Yeah. I didn't correct it the first time, but to Councilmember Gearing's point, the use is legal. It's the sale, mm-hmm. right? You've said that twice, so I just want to
correct.
Yeah. I'm saying something wrong, but I'm...
It's all good.
We'll deal with that later. We're going to move
forward. I'll just say that for this.
Okay.
There you go.
So we're going to move forward with this list right here, and I thank you very much for your direction this evening. That'll be probably going before Planning Commission beginning of February. Does that sound about right? Okay. All right. Thank you very much. We're going to move on to the next item on the agenda, and that next item will be under new business. This is AB 185, approval of resolution number 026-2014, amending fixed assets policy and small and attractive items policy.
As opposed to large
and unattractive.
The name is so
awesome. Yeah, I love it. Awesome.
This is a kind of a housekeeping item. It's formalizing current practices. The state auditor says we have to have these policies. Last time we did the fixed asset policy was in 2008, where we capitalized at a threshold of $1,000, but over the course of time, we now capitalize at a threshold of $5,000. So since common practice among most cities is $5,000, so since that's higher, the auditors now say they want you to have a small and attractive list track for theft-sensitive items. And so this policy, basically when the auditors did a presentation at a finance conference, they had a policy that they showed as a model policy, so I basically lifted it. And then the met with department heads, they hashed through it, then it went to the city attorney, he's looked at it, and then it went to the finance and HR committee, and everybody made a little bit of tweaks here and there, and so what you see before you is the final product, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Councilmember Gearing.
I move to approve resolution 026-2014. Amending the city's fixed assets policy and adopting a small items policy for accounting and tracking procedures.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Gearing, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is AB 14-186. This is authorized the mayor to sign police guild contract. Ben, would this be you?
This is me. Good evening. Tonight we have before you the new collective bargaining agreement for the police guild. It is a 3-year contract. They are sticking with the high deductible health savings account and the sales tax. Their increase is tied to sales tax. We did a little bit different than last year. They will get no more than 6% in 1 year, no more than 10 in 2 years, and no more than 13% over the life of the contract. So previous contract it was 6 for each year. There's a little bit of reduction. And if there are not any other questions, or motion to approve this. It has been ratified by the police guild already, so just waiting for your input.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Thanks, Ben, for all your work on this. I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the agreement with the Monroe Police Officers Guild and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next item on the agenda, thank you. The next item on the agenda, and we're actually going to proceed into an executive session. So we're going to go into an executive session for approximately 10 minutes. The citation for this is 42 RCW 42.30.110. One little I, and we will be out for approximately 10 minutes. There will be action to follow, and I think that's it. So we're going to go ahead and use this room. Thank you. Okay, and we're back on record. This is just to clarify that we are going into executive session pursuant to the citation. We're back briefly on the record. Just to clarify that the reason why we are going into executive session is for potential litigation to consult with our attorney pursuant to the RCW previously cited. Thank you.
What model is your... This? That's the two.
It's two.
Okay, we're back in... open session, and the next item that we have on the agenda is under new business. This is new business agenda item number 3, AB 14-187, authorize the mayor to sign the 2015 Public Defender Services contract. And Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. On October 24th, 2014, the city issued a request for proposal for public defender services. We actually received 4 proposals. In doing so, we enlisted the help of what we described as a blue ribbon panel of outside experts to help us with that. Following that process and the staff interacting with that panel, we have brought forward a recommendation to go with the neighborhood to offer those services to the city member.
Councilmember Kemp?
Thank you. I'd like to move to authorize the mayor to sign the contract for indigent defense services with Baker Lewis. Help me with this one. Schwesau and Laws, PLLC, in substantially the form presented and expressly authorized further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next item that we have on our agenda is number 4, AB 14-188, authorize the mayor to sign addendum to contract for prosecution services. I almost said persecution services. prosecution services. Gene.
Tim.
How about Tim?
Chief. Proposed addendum to the contract for prosecution services addresses services between Zachary and Thomas, referred to as prosecutors, and the city of Monroe. This addendum is mutually agreed upon by both parties and shall remain in full force and effect through December 31st, 2017. Unless terminated earlier by either party pursuant to the provisions defined in the contract.
Thank you. Council? Is there a motion?
Yeah, there you go, Ed.
Councilmember Davis.
I move to authorize the mayor to sign the 2015-2017 addendum to the contract for prosecution services with the law offices of Zachor and Thomas Incorporated, P.S., and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
I have a first from Councilmember Davis, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next item on the agenda, we are now moving into final action, is final action number 1, AB 14-189, ordinance number 022-2014, amending Hoserland rezone, final reading. Do we have a...
Thank you, Council. This is a second reading and adoption of the proposed ordinance, if that is your preference tonight. As explained in the previous meeting, this is a site-specific rezone request, and as such is subject to the appearance of fairness doctrine as a judicial matter. The appearance of fairness doctrine in Washington requires the local land use proceedings be fair in appearance as well as fair in fact. And the legal standard is whether a disinterested person appraised of all relevant factors would be justified in believing that bias or prejudgment or partiality might exist on the part of any council member. In accordance with the appearance of fairness doctrine, I will now ask the council a series of questions. If the council has any affirmative response, please say so. Other than that, I will simply move through the list relatively quickly because you've already presented these questions before. First of all, with respect to potential interest, does any council member have any financial interest in the project or the underlying property? Does any council member have a family member who is a party of record? Does any council member have a personal or familial employment or other business relationship with a party of record? Does any council member own property within the public notice mailing radius of the project site? Is any council member aware of any other personal interest or involvement with the project, the parties of record, or the property that should be fairly disclosed? Let the record indicate, please, that there are no affirmative responses. The second series of questions deals with the issue of impartiality. Is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against any party or for or against the project itself? Has any council member prejudged any of the issues implicated by this project? Has any council member not reviewed the record materials for this proposal? Is any council member aware of any reason why he or she would not be able to perform his or her duties in an objective, impartial, and fair manner? And please let the record show that there are no affirmative responses to any of those questions. The final series of questions concerns ex parte communications. Has any council member had any ex parte communications regarding this project while the proposal has been pending? Thank you. At this time, the floor should be open for any member of the audience to challenge the responses and continued participation of any council member, and failure to raise a challenge at this point will effectively waive the right to bring a challenge in the future. Okay, the record should show that there are no challenges from any member of the audience, and the matter can proceed to discussion and vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Brad, do you have any presentation?
I really can show you a map, but it's not showing. Okay. So this is the property, north side of Highway 2, east of Roosevelt Road, west of the foothills. Melissa presented this to you last week. It's changing it from UR 9600 to UR 6000. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt ordinance number 022-2014, amending zoning designations in the Hoserland rezone area from urban residential 9600 to urban residential 6000, setting forth findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. The next item on the agenda is AB 14-190. This is ordinance 023-2014 regarding school impact fees for first and final reading. And is this Brad?
Yes. The recently adopted 2014-2019 capital facilities plans for the Snohomish School District and the Monroe School District have determined that either school district has growth-related capacity issues that would require the imposition of school impact fees, and as such, there are no fees to be collected by the city to pass on to those school districts. This ordinance temporarily sets a moratorium on the collection of those fees, and while we catch up with our process to adopt their capital facilities plans into our capital facilities plan as part of the 2015 comprehensive plan update. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
No questions. I'd like to make a motion to waive council rules of procedure requiring two readings of an ordinance.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble. I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Councilmember Gamble?
I'd like to make a motion to adopt ordinance number 023-2014, amending Chapter 20.07, MMC, School Impact Fee Mitigation Program, imposing a temporary moratorium upon the city's collection and transfer of school impact fees, providing for severability, establishing an automatic sunset date, and fixing a time when the same shall become effective.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a motion from Councilmember Gamble. I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is final action number 3. This is AB 14-191, approval of resolution number 027-2014, setting 2015 fees. Brad, and is there an amendment to this? Or?
Yes. So as we presented to you last week, the fees changes that we presented to you last week are still there. The one addition or amendment we have is to amend Schedule A school impact contingency fee per unit to make all the fees in this section zero per ordinance number 027-2014. So per ordinance 023/2014. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble?
I'd like to move to approve resolution number 027-2014, establishing fees, fines, penalties, interest, and charges for 2015 with the so stated amendment to the motion, to the requested action.
Just a second.
I'll do it again.
Okay, so I have, you're going to go ahead and read it? Great.
I move to approve resolution number 027-2014, establishing fees, fines, penalties, interest, and charges for 2015 with an amendment to Schedule A, school impact fee concurrency per unit, making all fees in this section zeroed out per ordinance number 023-2014.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember?
No.
Okay.
Forgot I had it on.
Okay. There being no discussion on the motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. Next item that we have on the agenda is Councilmember Reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Had an opportunity to go with the family, watch some volleyball this weekend at the University of Washington. It was pretty exciting. It was unfortunate that the Huskies lost. And it was fortunate, however, that they lost to my team. But they did have an amazing season, and it's a lot of fun to see them. Those kind of regional events come to our area because I know a lot of people, at least we're in with that, with the volleyball crowd right now, so it's a lot of fun. Exciting to see Seattle and our extended area be a place where these kind of events take place. And as those people come in, it'd be nice to get them even closer to Monroe. So anything we can do to do that, I think that's a great thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
No report, just happy holidays to everyone, and we'll see you in the new year.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
I'll echo that. I'll see you all next year, I guess. It's been a pleasure working with everybody this year. I look forward to next year, and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I'd like to echo that. Happy holidays. It's been a good year, and look forward to working with everyone next year. I just want to add that I attended the Stormwater. What was it?
It was the
Lewis Street and East Main Stormwater Separation from Sanitary Sewer.
I knew I would. I knew there was no way I was going to get that title right.
Extravaganza.
While it was rather thinly attended by the public,
how could that be? How could that be?
It was an interesting experience to sit there with staff, the mayor, and brainstorm some of the ideas. I'm really looking forward to hearing some of the things we discussed. Well, I know there's always that, but that was the money, for the record, that was the money finger maneuver. And anyway, so I'm looking forward to that. It was really interesting, and if we can get some of those items in, I think it will make downtown just look incredible.
Thank you.
And again, happy holidays.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Likewise, happy holidays, happy new year. Everyone be safe. See you next year.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Happy holidays, and thank the staff for all the hard work they've done this last year. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to 2015.
Thank you. Going out there, Mike.
Jack, to report in your packet, and I have nothing else to report.
Thank you. Ben? We got a notice out for the community development director.
Correct.
That went out on Wednesday or Thursday?
Yeah, Wednesday.
Yep. Great. Chief?
This year, we have started something new here in Monroe that is going to occur on Sunday. It's called Shop at the Top. And we have two of our largest retailers that are enthusiastically participating, Fred Meyer and Walmart. And we are, we gathered enough money to give about 15 kids $100 a piece to go shopping in places. And that will occur on Sunday. So we hope to get an annual event.
Thank you. Gene, I'm sorry, how about Brad?
I
won't be able to.
Because you haven't driven down, actually, I haven't driven down that side of town yet, but I hear that the roundabout and four lanes of SR 532 are open.
Mm-hmm.
Although it took a day longer than they said it would, the railroad tracks are fixed at the other end of Main Street.
Yeah.
And we have the Lewis Street, East Main Street, Stormwater Sanitary Sewer Separation Installation Open House. And actually, there was, I think we got 8 or 9 people, the citizen ranger, attend. So that was actually quite better than we usually do.
Let the record show, that's bigger than the audience right now.
And also from some people who talked to Una afterwards who are interested and want to keep, so we got their names and be in contact with them. So.
Wow.
We have lots of money for all those fun, exciting, interesting things we've talked about.
Oh, good.
Cool.
You heard it here. Okay, any questions for Brad? Okay, any questions for staff? I would like to get none. All right.
No, no.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Just one thing I want to add for Mr. Mike is that we believe the new downtown planners will be here this week to deliver. So they'll be coming out.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's pretty exciting. When they get here, we'll email everyone.
Cool.
Just want to thank staff, council, mayor for a great year. We've had a lot of successes and a lot of good things. So looking forward to
Thank you. So just a rundown, we had a very busy week last week. The our Judge Rosano was in here last week with the chairs packed. We actually had, I think the chairs went all the way across. The Chief and Gene and I were there as well as Pam. And I'm not kidding, we had 9 robes up here. It looked like the Supreme Court was in session here, and I've got a panorama photo on the city phone if anybody wants to see it. When Judge Rosano received her robe, there were 10 judges up here. So, in addition to that, in addition to all the judges that were here, we had the county executive here as well, which I don't know that we've ever had a county executive actually here in City Hall. That was nice for him to show up and say a few words about our judge. Our judge is very well thought of throughout the area in the work that she does, and it was impressive to see all the people that were here. Right after that, I went to the Lewis and East Main Street stormwater meeting. Staff had that open from 5 until 9, so it was for a full 4 hours, and Councilmember Camp and I had a little bit too much sugar, and so I've asked staff for some information about how much that sugar would cost us if we were to actually go through with those ideas. The ideas included things like maybe not having curbs and putting in bollards instead along East Main and West
bollards.
Main. Yeah, and we got so far because the sugar was,
it was fun.
It was good sugar. Things went so far as to talk about having the bollards being lit to provide for pedestrian scale lighting. And I think at one point in time we were talking, I was talking about them being colored lights so that
well,
you could
have...
Well,
I think that was after I left.
That was... Okay, good. Then I won't admit to that right now. So what staff's going to do is put together some estimates of the more reasonable aspects of what I just shared with you. Also, the project only does the east side of Main Street. It doesn't do the west side of Main Street, which means that the businesses on east side of Main Street will see a new sidewalk and perhaps not have a curb and also have new work done on the sides of the street, very much like has been done on Hill Street and Fremont. But the west side of Main Street would not have that. So we're going to price out what it would cost to do the full two blocks in downtown. And so we'll put that on the agenda for right around January 27th or so. We'll get to that in a minute. The other thing I did is Una and I spent about 4 to 6 hours going through the businesses in the downtown as well as up on a few of them up on Highway 2 and also over at Freiland's to go over the Polar Plunge. She said that I promised that I'd do the Polar Plunge. I did not do that, but there you go. We also, when I was in the downtown, I shared brochures that staff was kind enough to put together overnight. Thank you. There were trifolds about the project. And so as I was going through the downtown, not only were we plugging the Polar Plunge, but we were also talking about this project in the downtown and receiving feedback about the project, about the festivals in the downtown, and about the parking. So if anybody has any questions about that feedback, let me know. I'd be happy to share that with you. But I know that it's the last meeting of the year, so anybody have any questions about that? Okay. And then, the other thing that I did today, purchase and sale agreement at lunchtime today, I signed the purchase and sale agreement with Select Homes, I think it was, selling property that for $390,000 and change. The funds will be going into the North Kelsey Fund for debt servicing, as I understand it. And Diane asked that I share that with you. So I think that's all that I have. I want to say that it's staff has done a wonderful job this year and that it's been a pleasure serving here with council. You all have done very well as well, and I look forward to continuing to work with you next year. I hope you all have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and get some time off with your family and friends. So, Councilmember Camp?
Move that we adjourn.
Okay.
Do we have to wait?
Do we want to go over the agenda? We won't worry about the agenda. I have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great...
Sorry, Gene.
Sorry.
We're in it.
We're adjourned.